Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them with me for a few moments this morning to the book of Psalms 141. I won't preach long, but I do feel like I've got a word today. And as you have seen these little prayer stations all over the church out in the lobbies, these are real prayer requests. They brought one in from the lobby. And all of these are prayer requests that people have written down and folded up and said, I'm doing this fast and praying, and I'm asking the church to pray with me. And I just thought it would be neat to bring it up here while I preach, particularly what I'm going to share in this service. Psalms 141, verse 1. Lord, I cry out to you, make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Verse 2, let my prayer be set before you as incense. I'm preaching today on the secret remedy, God's secret remedy of fasting and prayer. And specifically, I want to focus in on that word incense. It's one that we really don't relate to a lot in our time, but it had profound implications in the scripture, Old Testament and New. It's found, the word incense. What is that about? Well, he said in this writing that let my prayers be like incense before your throne. In the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus chapter 30, when God gave instructions to Moses for the Old Testament tabernacle where his presence would dwell, he said, you're going to have to build several pieces of furniture if you want my presence. And he said, one of them is going to be placed right in front of the big curtain that separated the people from the Holy of Holies. And you will place this altar called the altar of incense right in front of this massive curtain. And behind the curtain was the Ark of the Covenant, where God's mercy seat and God's residence on planet Earth, as much as he can be contained in one place, was there. And he said, you are to always have the priest burning incense on days of sacrifice, a sacrifice in the morning, a sacrifice in the evening. And on special days like the Day of Atonement, every person is to bring a lamb for their house, or an ox according to how they had prospered, or a turtle dove. But everybody was to bring an offering, and it would be slaughtered on the altar of sacrifice. And then the priests would take hot coals from off of the altar of sacrifice, put them in a censer, and we actually have one, perhaps something like they would use, which a censer is just like a container, and they would put these hot coals in it, and they would go to the altar of incense. And in Exodus chapter 30, there were four ingredients. It could only be made with these four ingredients, and it gives those four ingredients, such as frankincense and myrrh. And there were several others, but four in all. And they would take this perfume once they had those hot coals, and they would pour it onto the hot coals. And that would cause the curling smoke to come up, not only off of the altar of incense, as the priest could not go into the presence of God without the incense of prayer and praise going up. He could not enter in unless there was the incense, curling smoke going up. But it was not confined, the incense were not confined to the tabernacle, because they would then take them and run through the camp. and walk out into the outer court. Sometimes I saw pictures this week, a priest who would carry as many as six of these, three in one hand, and they would walk through the camp, and many of the priests would walk through the camp, and the smell of those incense as the curling smoke would go up would fill the whole camp of Israel. And that doesn't make a lot of sense to us, and we don't see why that was a big deal, because we don't really comprehend what it was like. And I promise I'm going somewhere with this, so just come in here with me for just a few moments, because we don't really we almost make it like when the priest was slaughtering the animals and, you know, all of this stuff, that it was like a holy hush over the camp. It was real quiet and reverent, and it was a slaughterhouse. You have to understand, on the Day of Atonement, there would be tens of thousands of animals. Oxen, bullocks, goats, lambs. And I could see six priests as they are wrestling to the ground a cow or a bullock, and they're holding it down, and they scream for two other priests to run over and hold it down, and it's kicking and it's bellowing and it's crying and its leg is kicking, and this is a little graphic, but they would slit the throat of that animal and the blood, and they would try to capture as much as they could, and it's a gruesome thing. And the priest would get up. The priest wasn't walking around with a necktie and a suit on. He wouldn't do this one time, but I'm talking about, imagine 10,000 animals. And this blood is all over his clothes, and it's all over his feet, and it's all over. Have you, if you're a hunter, if many of you men are a hunter, and you've seen someone, or you've done it yourself, you've had to fix and clean an animal in the field. It's gruesome. Everything has to be cleaned out, and blood is everywhere. And there are smells. There are smells and aromas. The smell of blood. The smell of all of the gore. And not just one animal, but thousands and thousands of animals, and blood is everywhere. And then the priest is sprinkling the blood seven times on every piece of furniture, and it's all over him from head to toe. It would be nauseating. And then on top of that, you have something in your nose called the olfactory, O-L-F-A-C-T-O-R-Y, olfactory nerve. And the olfactory nerve is a sensor that God put into your nose that can trigger things. And some things, when that sensor picks up, it triggers nausea. It makes you sick. Certain smells just turn your stomach. Other things would cause hunger. You know, if you smell a delicious smelling food cooking, it would trigger hunger in you. So all through the camp, imagine on the Day of Atonement. And the reason it's so gruesome is it's a picture of Calvary. The gore, the blood, it was horrible. And it's a picture of Calvary and what our Savior would do for you and do for me to cleanse us of our sins. But on that Day of Atonement, can you imagine the blood, the gore, the stench? It was just stench everywhere. There was this smell. There was this horrible, wretched smell, and it was all over the camp of Israel. And all of the sudden, there comes this God-inspired substance that is like a perfume. It's very strong smelling. They were forbidden to ever use it anywhere. Only the priests could put it together. The apothecary would make it, and here comes the priest just when you couldn't stand it anymore, just when you couldn't take it anymore, just when you were about to just, I can't handle it. Can you imagine those priests and the people and the smell and the gore and everywhere you look, and I can't take it anymore? And just when you couldn't take it anymore, here comes a priest, and he has this smell, and suddenly it changes the whole atmosphere. There's this sweet smell that comes in the middle of all that suffering and all of that blood and all of that pain and all of that gore and all of the bellowing of the cows and the screams of the lambs and the blood. And in the middle of all of that comes the incense that brings a sweetness to a horrible, wretched situation. The priest is swinging the censer, and everything smells sweeter. And suddenly, you see people say, "Oh, thank God for that! Ooh, it's temporary relief, but I'll take it." And I can almost see the priest probably having hours of doing this, and he even goes to the altar of incense and just stands there and says, "I can't take it anymore. It's my nerves are going off, and I'm about to throw up. I'm about to lose it. So let me stand here and let me be in a sweeter smell in a sweeter atmosphere." It made it bearable. Something sweet was mixed into a horrible situation. The incense, the writer says, is a type of our prayers that goes to God. There is a power in prayer. There is a sweetness in prayer. Life can begin to stink. Things can happen in your life that are so horrible. Listen, I'm a faith preacher. I believe in miracles. I believe in signs and wonders and healings and massive. God can do it all. I don't not believe. I believe in it. And yet I've been pastoring 25 years long enough to say that I have seen God not answer my prayer like I wanted him to pray, or I wanted him to answer, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And the situation, notice when they're swinging the censer, it didn't change the reality, it didn't change the situation, but it made them able to deal with it in a sweeter, better atmosphere. And sometimes we think the only way that prayer is effective is if it changes the horrible situation we're praying about into a complete transformation right before our eyes, and we want it instantly. When in reality, one of the greatest things that prayer does is right in the middle of it, it helps you to stand it. I know I'm not out of it, but if I'll pray, I can bear the unbearable. If I pray, it brings a sweetness right in the middle of my gore and my mess and my Gethsemane. That's the power of prayer. That's the power of calling on God, talking to God. I may not solve the problem, but it sure does sweeten up your life. Let's get real. I may not be able to bring your dead child back. I know I can't. But if you will pray, it will sweeten up the atmosphere of your life. You may not be able to change some things. You go to that rest home and your mother who raised you has Alzheimer's and she doesn't even know your name. Unless a miracle, nothing's going to change that. So why pray? You go in there and you start praying, and it turns that ugly thing. Suddenly there's a sweetness to the way that you deal with it, because prayer makes a difference. In our lives, things come. But God says the way that you tolerate it, the way that you bear the unbearable. How do you bear the unbearable? You take the censer of prayer and you walk through that house where the hell may be trying to take one of your children and they're on drugs and alcohol, and it's not a quick fix, but sometimes it's years that people struggle with stuff. But what you do is you just, the stinkier the house gets, you just get the censer out and you walk through. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in these children as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread in the workplace. I know money's running tight and we need some big. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Have you ever fasted and prayed God would kill somebody? You ever had, okay, let me preach this. Have you ever had somebody get on your nerves and you convinced yourself that it's probably God's will for them to go on home? Anybody been that deceived like your pastor has maybe once or twice in his life? Just take them, Lord. And you know what? Just fast and pray about it. And you get in about the third day of that fast, and it's just like what Jesus said. He said, pray for those who despitefully use you. And you know what? Here's the big deal. They may never, as a matter of fact, they might get worse. But what prayer does is it changes you. It changes your atmosphere. It changes your spirit. It changes your ugliness to a beautiful, sweet spirit. All you got to do is pray for those enemies. All you got to do is swing the censer of prayer, and it'll sweeten you up. And they may keep on despising you and doing you wrong and talking about you, but you just pray for them. Some of you ought to, those people you're hating, you ought to just start doing like this. That lady stood up over there. She was doing it just like this. She was putting it on somebody. Prayer doesn't always get rid of everything. Let me preach this right here. The further they were from the altar of incense, the more things stunk. And the further you stay away from prayer, the stinkier your life will get. The less you pray, the more things stink. The less you pray, the harder it is to stand it, to bear it, to take it. But if you will pray, I believe God, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes 3 that says, I love it. It said, He makes, oh, this is going to bless somebody. It said, He makes everything beautiful in its time. Not your time. But if you'll keep praying about it, it may be stinky and ugly and stinky and what a mess, and it's easy to bolt and give up and say forget it. But if you'll keep praying about it, He makes all things beautiful. Even the tragedies, even the losses, even the terrible things that were gory. And if you've ever walked with someone who was sick and ill and they kept getting worse and worse and worse, it just breaks your heart. And you pray and you pray and they're not getting better. But what it does is it sweetens the atmosphere enough for you to bear it. For you to stand it, and then you begin to trust He'll make all things beautiful. All things are working together for the good. I don't understand this right now, but I'm just going to make the best out of it and going to turn it into beautiful worship and beautiful prayers of God. I trust You even when You don't answer my prayers like I thought You would. Prayer doesn't eliminate everything bad in your life. Sometimes God doesn't kill them. You're stuck with them. So what are you going to do? You going to get rotten like them, or are you going to get you some incense and say, change me, sweeten me? Thank God for incense that sweetens up the air and makes life worth living, because most of our life is not on the mountaintop in the sunshine. Most of our life, we're going to find that there's some gore and some suffering and some pain and some trouble and some crisis and somebody's dying and something's going on. But this is the power of prayer. Look at all of these needs, and there's no telling, and I didn't rehearse this, but there's no telling what's here. There's no telling. I need to gain victory over addiction, someone says. And I need this, I need that. They're all full. So what do? We pray. And it doesn't mean all of these things get a miracle and we fast. But what we do is our praying and our fasting sweetens up the atmosphere. And He makes all things beautiful in His time. Jesus used this prayer when He said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The cup was not removed. The cup was not taken. The cup was not removed, but something came when Jesus prayed that sweetened the atmosphere of what He was about to go through enough that He could bear the unbearable. And the angels came and ministered to Him. That's what prayer does. Prayer may not solve every problem in your life instantly, but prayer sweetens up your life. It brings joy to your soul. It brings strength to your life. Let's sweeten up the air and the atmosphere of our families and our homes. You may have trouble everywhere, but if you will pray about it, that's why what we've been doing during this fast is we've been saying to this church, pray the Lord's Prayer at least four times every day. At least four times out loud, verbally utter the Lord's Prayer. I've been doing it. And the bad thing is, I have been doing more than four. I've been doing more like 40 or 50. It's consumed me. And I get up, and the first thing on my brain is, "My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." What are you doing? I don't know what this day is going to bring, but I'll be prepared for it because I have created the incense of a sweetness that whatever comes, so be it. He's never failed me yet. My God is a faithful God. He doesn't require perfection in our life. He just says, "Lean on me and call on me and trust me." Everybody sweeten up the air with the incense of praise right now. Let's just take a moment. Nothing may change while you're fasting and praying except the atmosphere of your own life. But He'll make all things beautiful in His time. The Apostle Paul said, "I have this thorn in the flesh." And he said, "I prayed three times, take this, take this, take this." He fasted and prayed, "Take it, take it, take it." And God said, "Listen to this, my strength is made perfect in your weakness." One translation said, "God's strength is not perfect until it finds human weakness to apply to." I qualify for your greatest strength. Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And then God gave him the second part. "I will not remove it. I will not take it away. You keep praying about it and you keep creating a sweetness about it. It'll give you enough to bear it, and my grace is sufficient for thee." Not taking it. I'm going to give you faith to bear it. Now that didn't make you shout, does it? That didn't make you, you're not engaged right now. You're just kind of... That's not what I want. We're a microwave generation, but we serve a crock pot God. And He says, "I'm going to let you walk through some stuff, and you're going to learn how to pray. And the only reason you're going to pray is to get relief, because nothing on the natural seems to be changing. But when you pray, you change the atmosphere enough to, oh, thank you, Lord. I felt like I got the burden off." And you go back and the stench gets on you and you run back. And that's how you develop a prayer life. There's a sweetness that comes drifting across the atmosphere. And it's bearable. I can't change it, but I can live with it. That's what prayer does. Prayer says, there's some things I can't change, but if I pray, I can live with it. Isn't that what they did? It was awful. The smell was awful, but the incense was just enough to make it bearable, tolerable. Never get bitter at God. Well, how do you not get bitter at God? He took my child. He took my wife, my husband. How do you not get bitter at God? prayers are like incense, perfume, that sweeten you up instead of making you bitter. Don't get bitter at God because you lost a child or something happened. He may not fix everything, but like you want it, right when you want it. But He makes all things. Here's a word from the Lord right in the middle of the fast. He will make all things in your life that are so ugly and so jacked up and so messed up and so, they stink. It just stinks. He will make those stinky, ugly things beautiful in His own time. You watch what I tell you. Everybody take a praise break. Just praise God just for a minute. I found this. I thought it was interesting. I don't need this. This is not for me. This is for somebody else. But I did think it was interesting. It said there are six major old age fears. Look over at somebody and say, get ready. You need this. Six major old age fears. Listen to this. This is a real study that they did of people who are getting older. Number one, the fear of being unwanted and unloved. Number two, the fear of being financially dependent upon somebody. I can't support myself when I'm old. That's a real fear. Number three, the fear of protracted illness. I'm sick and I'm getting sicker and sicker and sicker and losing more and more and more of my health. This is a fear that torments people who are getting older. The fear of becoming physically repulsive, meaning the beautiful woman begins to see the wrinkles and begins to see age. And the fear that I'm going to be a burden or a nuisance to my family. The fear of being, lastly, senile, not having good intellect, slipping mentally, losing my ability. Mentally. What do you do about it? Even if you're 90 and God heals you, you're still 90. And you're going to get old. And you're not going back to young until you go to heaven. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to go into life in your golden years, all tormented. Or you can say, well, you know, God's not going, a surgeon can't even help you but so much. So what you have to do is you just have to say, you know how I bear these years? I pray. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yay! What? Yay! Though I walk through the valley of the... See, I feel a sweetness about getting older. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before my haters, my enemies. Oh, thank you. Surely goodness shall follow me all the days of my life. Not just in my middle years when I'm young and healthy, but all the days of my life. God's goodness and God's mercy are following me like bodyguards. And here it is. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That kind of sweetens it up. Come on, let's shout right there. My God. Jesus has conquered the grave. Hallelujah. What Dr. Rutland taught us about the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm was life-changing for me.
I got it. Something clicked in me. Those two belong together. And when I pray those two psalms, I pray Psalms 23, and I pray out of Matthew 6, the fasting chapter where Jesus taught on fasting. But before he taught on fasting, he said, now when you pray, pray like this. And then when he got through teaching the Lord's Prayer, he said, now when you fast, put this with your prayer, but pray the Lord's Prayer. And so what I felt in my heart, that this last week of the fast is going to be a week of tremendous emphasis on prayer in this church. Tomorrow's Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Many do not go to work, so we're going to go to work spiritually. We're going to pray tomorrow. I'm decreeing that this be the week of prayer in this church. And here's what I felt. You're going to laugh at me. But I'm not going to laugh because I believe there's 1,000 of what I'm about. I asked God in prayer yesterday, give me 1,000 men at a Monday night prayer meeting. 1,000. We're going to have a men's prayer meeting Monday night right here. Actually, at the other campus. Hold it. At the other campus, just down the road in the old auditorium. And I want 1,000 men who will come and say, I'm about to light up the censer in my family. And there are some stinky situations in my marriage, my home, my family. But you know what? I'm going to walk through and I'm going to turn the mess into a sweetness, because I am the high priest of my home. And I can pray about it like nobody can pray about it. And because we're not a bunch of wimpy men, I want to know, can I get 1,000 men? Can I get 1,000 men that will join me tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in fasting and in prayer? And we're going to pray 1 hour. I'll lead you. We're going to pray through the Lord's Prayer. If you will commit to be here tomorrow night and you're a man, stand up. That's awesome. That's awesome. I don't care what you got going on. I could care less. I got a lot of stuff going on too. But I heard the Lord say, tell the men to pray. Tuesday night's going to be women's night. And I may be the only man there, but the Lord told me to lead the prayer. Can I get 1,000 women on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock right here? 1,000 women. Stand up if you'll come pray. Between this service and the next service, we're going to need 1,000 women. I can't imagine what could be more important. But we're going to fill the atmosphere with the sweetness of prayer and see what God's going to do. Let's stand to our feet. Everybody pray the Lord's Prayer out loud with me right now. Are you ready? Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter at Jensen or Facebook at Jensen Franklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.